Revelation chapter number 19. We've been studying Revelations. This is a departure from the study. This is more, we are going to expound this passage, but more topically, we're not in the order that where we are in the book study. I'm interested, though. I'm going to take my text verse from another passage that we spent some time in. We spent several weeks in Philippians chapter number 2. And there's something there that still, I don't feel like I've got all the juice out of it. My wife, if she makes fresh lemonade, we've got this thing you put them on and it turns. And it'll juice your oranges or lemons or whatever. And so there'll be all this stuff laying on the counter. Well, I'm a pretty tight person. I'm very conservative. I like to get all the goody out of something. I ain't nothing. I don't waste anything. I just don't believe in waste. And I mean, that's why I waste so much. I was always taught to clean my plate, and I did, and still do. And I clean Doris's about 2/3 of the time. Somebody said, it's not polite to eat off somebody else's plate in a restaurant. I'm paying for that heathen meal. I am not going to send about half of that stuff to the scraps. I'm either going to take it home or feed it to the dog or do something, but I ain't about to leave it. I'll sit there and poke it down my finger if I have to. I am not leaving that behind. Well, sometimes when Doris juices things or when she... I'll see that stuff on the counter, and I think, well, she didn't get all the goody out of that. And I'll get them, and I'll go to squeezing them, sucking on them, see if I can get a little more of the goody out of them. Y'all know what the goody is, don't you? Get the goody out of it? That's an old saying. Well, I don't feel like I quite got all the goody out of Ephesians 2. Stand with me. I'm going to read that in your hearing. We're going to take our text in Revelation 19. But these are related. I'm going to pick up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. I want you to look at this phrase, and hath given him a name which is above every name, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, things in earth, and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My title this morning, a name which is above every name. Now, in your book of Revelation, chapter number 19, I want to emphasize some of these names as we read it. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. Notice it's capitalized. Proper name. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now I'm going to deliberately skip for time's sake, verse 14 and 15. Look in verse 16 of Revelation 19. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want this morning to spend some time talking about that name that's above every name. So let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus, we commit the service to you and ask God for your help. Ask God for your unction in this hour in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. I'm suffering from dry mouth this morning. I've drank in water. I've got a cough drop. If you see I'm not chewing backer. I'm trying to get this cough drop dissolved. All right? I thought I could crack. Do y'all hear that? Pretty loud inside. I don't know how it sounds outside. Pretty loud inside. Y'all want one? I ain't got that many. I said, preacher, what's the emphasis on the name? Well, God puts a great deal of emphasis on names. One of the premier studies, if you want to study something, is study the names in the Bible. What's interesting is, study what mom and dad named that child, and then study what that name means, and study how that child will grow up to fulfill that name. They named him ahead of time, and yet that name means such and such, and so they grow up to fulfill that, what's in that name. And so, pretty amazing. God puts a great emphasis on names, how he names things. And so, for that reason, I want to put some emphasis this morning on his names. Now, if we had time, we'd take and set this up a little better. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, we have had chapter after chapter after chapter of judgment. But chapter 19, everything changes. It is a turning point in the scripture. Because chapter 19 is the chapter that outlines the second coming of the Lord Jesus. When he literally returns to earth, not in the rapture, when he returns to earth as King of Kings and of Lord of Lords. And so the name of the returning king, I'm going to deal with this on the radio this week on morning devotion. The names of the returning Christ. And so I want you to look first of all at his matchless name. Look at what it says in verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. Can I see your hand if you have been 100% faithful all of your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, well, let me give you another. If you've told the truth all your life and you've never told anything but the truth, would you raise your hand? Well, I certainly don't have my hand up. Why is that? Because there's no human can say that. But can I tell you that he has been faithful every step of the way? Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the last time God failed you? No. Because he never has he? Why? Because he's faithful. You can't remember the last time God failed you. There's no such thing as that. He's never failed you. Never. And so he's faithful. He is forever faithful. He is forever true. And there's no one else on earth, above or below, there's no one else that we could say that about. He is forever faithful. He is forever true. In other words, in this name and in this character trait, he has no peers. There's no one to compare him to. And so can I say it's a matchless name? It is a peerless name. There's no peers. He's the one and only. There's no one else. No one else has ever been faithful 100%. No one else has ever been true 100%. But he has. His matchless name, Faithful and True. Well, I'm glad that's the case. I'm glad he's faithful. He's faithful. You can count on it. He's faithful. He's seldom early, but he's never late. Looks like he's late to us, but he's never late. Mary Martha said, Lord, if you'd only been here. If you'd only been here. But you was late. But if you'd only been here. Oh, he wasn't late. Lazarus needed to die and needed to be raised to show the power of God. There was a purpose in that. And if you study your Bible, you know, they got mad at Lazarus for being raised from the dead. They set out to hurt him because he's raised from the dead. I mean, I'm sure he was perfectly content in the paradise compartment of earth. But the Lord called his name and he got up. Lazarus, come forth. Well, the old preacher said one time, you know why he said Lazarus? And I said, not really, why? He said, because he said to come forth, the whole graveyard had got up. He had to be specific. Lazarus, come forth. Faithful and true, his matchless name, his peerless name. But then, I honestly, this it kind of broke in on me. I guess I knew this, but I don't know. It just kind of got fresh last night. Look in verse number 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, let's see if I can size this up. We know him as Jesus. That's his earthly name. That's the name the angels gave him. And Jesus in the New Testament is Joshua in the Old Testament, and it means Jehovah is salvation. But that's his earthly name. That's the name that he assumed to do that duty and to do that job. So that's the name that we know him by, okay? And that's the name that the Scripture assigned to him. But can I tell you, that name has been blasphemed. That name has been ridiculed. That name has become a byword. It chills my soul to hear people. When something happens, they go, Jesus Christ. That bothers me. It bothers me to hear somebody say, oh my God. That bothers me. Because if you're not talking to him, then is that vain talk? Is that vanity? Is that taking his name in vain? But do you understand that he was known in the past by a name that's not been revealed to mankind? It's so holy it's not been revealed. There's a name. It's a mystery name. If that man knew that name, man would have reviled that name. Does that make sense? I thought about it almost like this. Jesus is his working name. That's the name that he was assigned. That's the name that he's called because Jehovah is salvation. But I want you to know that there's another name. And it's name that's known by the Father. But listen, faithful and true, that's the name he's known by the faithful. The faithful know him as faithful and true. Can I say this mystery name, that's his past name. That's a name that was known by in heaven. The angels know him by that name. It's a name that he went by in heaven, but he didn't reveal it to mankind. But he was known by the Father. Just as faithful and true is the name he's known of by the faithful, that mystery name, that's the name that he's known of by the Father. And the Scripture says it's the only name under heaven, name of Jesus is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That mystery name. But then look with me in verse number 13. Here I believe we see his ministry name. The Scripture says, and he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. See the word capital L, capital W? That's a proper name once again. The Word of God. What do you mean, preacher? Well, how did John introduce him? John said, the same one who wrote Revelation said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's his ministry name. That's that working name. That's that present name. Here as Earth's Savior, he's the Word. He's the living Word. He's the Word incarnate. And can I say it this way? The Word of God, that's the name that he's known by the forgiven. This is the Word of God. He's the Word. That's why. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. How do you know you're saved, preacher? Because the Word told me I was saved. Well, I had this feeling. Boy, you need something bigger than that. So I said, oh, it's a big feeling. Feelings come and go. You need something in writing. Be careful with these verbal contracts. Get it in writing, amen? They was a handshake could do it. But you need it in writing. Can I tell you, we got it in writing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's in writing. The Word of God. I'm excited about that. That ministry name. That present name. The Word of God. The ministry name. The name he's known of by the forgiven. So that matchless name, Faithful and True, is known of by the faithful. That mystery name, that's the name he's known of by the Father. That ministry name, the Word of God, that's the name he's known by the forgiven. Look at what the scripture goes on to say. When we get down to verse number 16, look what the scripture says. I'm going to skip a couple of verses, and I'm going to go down to verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. On his vesture and on his thigh. The thigh throwed me. I wasn't quite on his vesture and on his thigh. That threw me a little bit. But I want you to see that there's two names, but yet they're one name. I'm gonna break them apart for exposition purposes. But if you look at it, it's one continuous name. You see, the scripture says on his vesture, almost like a monogram, something like royalty would have. That would be fitting, wouldn't it? On his vesture. The Bible says he had the name King of Kings. Can I say that is his majestic name? King of Kings. And can I go further to say that is his promised name? How's that? Well, he's always been king. But he's going to be King of Kings in the very near future. He's always been king. And he's been king of the universe, but he's fixing to be king over kings. Not too many days hence. That's fixing to happen. You remember that contemptuous title that Pilate put on the cross? He did it for harassment. He did it to make fun. He did it to create scorn. He did it to spite the Jews. He wrote in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And by the way, that took in the three people groups that would have been able to read it in that day. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Matter of fact, they wanted it revised. Say he said he was the King of the Jews. He said, I've written what I've written. Even in his wickedness, he still was fulfilling prophecy. Because he was declaring to the world they were crucifying a king. He was the King of the Jews. But can I tell you, listen to what I'm going to fix and say. He's not merely the King of the Jews. Pilate fell short in that. Pilate answered to Rome, but what he didn't realize was he's King of Rome too. Understand that he's not just King of the Jews, he is King of the world. And this time of the Gentiles that's going on right now, son, that thing's fixing to come to a screeching halt. And I'm talking about all the world leaders are going to find out real quick. And it won't take just a second. God's going to straighten this mess out. Somebody said in the next election, oh, listen, we might not make it to the next election. Now, I believe y'all do everything we can politically. I believe that. I believe you have a responsibility to do right and to vote right. But listen to me, when God comes, he'll straighten it out. From the poorhouse to the White House, he's going to straighten it out. You bond mamas, that's right. So it's going to change. So on his vesture, that name written, King of Kings, that is that promised name. By the way, that's the name that he'll be known of by his foes. What are you going to call him? You're going to call him King. They're going to call him Your Highness, Your Majesty. Oh, they'll never bow. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, no, they're wicked. They'll never bow. Oh, yes, they will bow. You hear what I'm fixing to say? They will bow. They'll bow here. They'll bow in the charred walls of hell, but they'll bow. Rest assured, they will bow. That's a fact that's fixing to take place. That's his promised name, King of Kings. But finally, I want you to look not only at his matchless name, that's his peerless name, that's the name he's known of by the faithful. At his mystery name, that's his past name, that's the name that he was known of by the Father. his ministry name. That's his present name. That's the name he is known of by the forgiven. His majestic name, King of Kings. That's his promised name. And that's the name that he'll be known of by his foes. But can I say finally, his mighty name. The Bible says, Lord of Lords. That is his powerful name. And that's the name he'll be known of forever. Now, I've told you in the past, in your King James Bible, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, I've made this statement, it is always the transliteration of the name Jehovah. Well, I need to back up on that. Now, oftentimes the exception proves the rule. Here's an exception. This is not Jehovah. That's not what's being repeated here. The word Jehovah is that covenant-keeping name of God. Elohim, that's the creative name of God. Jehovah, that's the covenant-keeping name of God. That's not what's used here. A Greek term is used here, and it has the idea and carries with it the idea of captain or controller. It very much signifies power. Not creation, not covenant, but control. And it's the only exception that I know of in your Bible that you're going to find this, that word is used in all caps, but it's used as the proper name of God, and it says Lord of Lords. Now, think about what I'm fixing to say. He is not just the capital K King of the little k kings. He is the all cap king of the capital kings. Think about it. I'm not talking about the little countries. I'm talking about the big ones. I'm talking about the capital ones. I'm talking about the biggest countries and the most powerful men on planet Earth. He's king over them. Because he's King of Kings. But wait a minute. He's not just the capital king over the lowercase kings. He is also, and he's not just the capital case Lord over the little case lords. He's capital over the big case lords. Somebody said, well, there ain't no big case lords. He's capital over them. I'm talking about dominions. Principalities. I'm talking about powers. Listen to what I'm telling you. The Hindus have millions of gods. He's Lord over every one of them. Somebody said, well, all they're doing is worshiping demons. I think you're right. But he's Lord over every one of them. He's the Lord of every demon. He's the Lord of every angel. He's the Lord of every devil that's ever been and ever will be. There is no name higher, and there's no dominion higher. He's not only the King of Kings, all caps. The Bible says and so it ties the two together, and so really I shouldn't separate them. You should say it all together. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all in one breath, all in one sentence. That covers everything on the earth, and everything under the earth, and everything above the earth. He's King. He's Lord. All of those created beings and all those creatures, he's Lord of them. He is the Lord of Lords. What's in a name, preacher? What can I tell you when he comes back to this whole world? The name that's been scribbled on bathroom walls, the name that has been persecuted and blasphemed, my friend, that name will be a name that is going to have different things for different folks. To those that believe in remnant of Jews, it's going to be a, oh, happy day. They despise the name of Jesus in this hour. My friend, they're going to reverence that name in this hour in Revelation 19. In this old world, atheism, communism, they want to abolish the name of Jesus. But I got news for you. They're going to bow to it, not too many days hence, to his names. Somebody said, well, preacher, how come he's got so many names? Because he's so multifaceted. If I wanted to set out and to try to describe who you are, I could say you're a wife, or you're a mother, you're a father, you're an uncle, you're a cousin. I could give all the relations, I could give all the different, and we could put all those titles in front of your name. We could put out your names, and then we could go in and start putting son of, and then we would, like in Spanish, they put the mother's last name and the end of the father's name, and so you have the mother's name and the father's name, then you have the mother's name, and we could continue with that. So if you get to looking, and then you start doing what you do for a living. And then so now you're called this and this and this because this is what you do. You're an electrician, you're a mathematician, you're an engineer, you're this or this or this, and you put all of those names together and it describes who you are and what you do and all your relationships. Can I tell you, this book's full of his names. And can I tell you, we can never overstate, we can never overrate, we can never make too much of the name of our Savior. Do you know him? Do you know him? The Bible says there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Somebody said, preacher, I wonder what that name was, that mystery name. You don't need to know. Because if you did, he'd have told us. But here's the question. What have you done with that name you know about? Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. What have you done with that name? Have you trusted him as Savior? If not, what doth hinder you? If not, what's standing in the way of you giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus? He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is faithful and true. He's a mystery name that nobody knows. He's the Word of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. His peerless name, his past name, his present name, his promised name, and his powerful name. The names of our Savior.